Hi, welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? A podcast dedicated to appreciating and learning from the silence of failure. My own failure. I never analyze other people's failed jokes because that's what's known in the trade as a dick move. So it's just my own. I was in beautiful Schaumburg, Chicago two weeks ago, I believe, doing the improv, and it was a blast. Had such a good time. And there were some funny moments, some funny, awkward crowd situations that I thought I could share with you. And I will be tonight and tomorrow, I will be at Laugh Boston. So you can get tickets at hugepianist.com. Makes me laugh every time I say it. I will be at the Foundry in Oswego, New York, my hometown. I just wanted to visit my parents and a bunch of people asked me to do a show. So I said, fuck it, let's do it, with my third grade teacher's son owns this really nice place, and let's just do that shit. So that's May 21st. It's 7 p.m. Hugepianist.com for tickets. But I think we're really close to selling out, so you're going to have to get that fast. But I've never done Boston, so come out, support. Because my first time through a city, I never know how it's going to go as far as crowds. Chicago, fifth, sixth time. It's always great. But first time, you never know. So here's something funny that happened. This is called Why Didn't They Laugh? But here's a situation where I'm asking the question, why did they laugh? And I'm talking about Asians. For several years of my life, all my years, as soon as I started getting introduced to Asians, I also played violin. I'm a classical piano player. A lot of people don't know I also played violin for a lot of years. All county, no big deal. Solo champion. So that means I competed with a lot of Asians because they're the best at all that shit. But I'm also really good. And when I'm good at music, Asians fucking start laughing because I don't look like someone that should be good at music. I thought I was paranoid. I'm like, maybe it's in your head. Maybe it's just a culture of gigglers. It's not. When I do stand up, I usually do a half hour and people like get the vibe. They're like, oh, this dude's a comedian. All right. And then I go start playing the piano. And that's usually a gear shift where people are either like, whoa, that's awesome. Or they're like, ha, 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 ha. And it's always the fucking Asians laughing. They openly laugh. So check out this little thing. I called them out for it in Chicago.
It's a couple. Usually the motherfuckers laugh when they see me be good at the piano. It's infuriating. Like, oh, white man, do what we can fucking do. That's funny. It's fucking crazy. No, fuck it, it's funny. They laugh out loud that I'm a skilled piano player.
I'm only racist when I drive. You can't drive.
Why don't we do some hilarious racism? It's on the History channel. It's a show called...
Yeah, so then I just try to transition into another bit. But yeah, you can write to me. Let me know if you think it's okay, what I'm doing. I'll do it either way, or I'll stop. I don't know. But I just... enough's enough. Enough is enough. I love Asian people in general, typically. They're usually really fun, bouncy motherfuckers. But they think it's funny that a big white man can do their little thing. All right, so you guys want to see something really amazing? The power of the podcast? Okay, you guys know I've been struggling with the duck joke for now about a month. And in Chicago, I think it was either Friday or Saturday night, a bunch of you guys came out to like a several shows. And it was really heartwarming because podcast fans actually like know you. Like, I'm pretty fucking vulnerable in this thing. Like, I'm just an open book. On stage, you got to be a little more calculating. And with acting shit, I found that doesn't really do much for me. Like, I was on a sitcom for 3 years. It was their number one TBS sitcom, and it was awesome. And I loved doing it. My best friends were on it. One of the best experiences of my life. But it doesn't pack this house when I tour. I'll just be honest with you, it doesn't. They'll be like, people be like, oh yeah, I like that show. I'll see that guy. That's cool. But it's not like what other shit can do. Like a special, like High Five Till It Hurts, people get pumped up about. But the podcast, people want to see jokes work after struggle. So check this out. The people in the crowd wanting to hear the duck joke were all podcast fans, which I think is fucking hilarious. And I still didn't do well with the joke, but just listen to this.
I watch that shit all the time. Well, one, because I'm obsessed with ducks. If we have time to get to that, I will. There's a lot of really funny shit about ducks. Okay, I'm going to talk about ducks for a second.
I mean, the fact that people want to hear me just eat shit about ducks, because I knew it wasn't going to go well. So far, it's worked maybe 3 times total where I've just like smoothly gotten the duck thing out. And it's mainly been Mexican crowds. But white crowds, I haven't. See, listen to this. Like, I'm trying to absorb and accept that people will not react positively when I talk about a duck penis. And now I'm trying to make it part of the joke. Let me know what you guys think of this part. This is called the kicker.
And because of this, this is the kicker. Ducks have 15-inch dicks. Yeah, that's how the crowd always reacts. I've been doing this joke about a month now. And the crowd always looks at me either disgusted or they think I'm lying. So they're like, you know? And later you're going to Google it and you're going to tweet me. And you're going to be like, holy fucking shit. Ducks have the biggest dick, okay, the biggest, blackest porno dick, the duck is bigger. This little fucking duck just has a baby's arm. And it's all like curvy and shit because what happens, that's how evolution works. It's like a genitalia.
See, this is when I start getting into what I call professor mode that I try to avoid, is when I'm just relaying information. I'm still a comedian, got to stick with that whole category. Because, like, I'll usually keep the laughs coming, but, like, when I start, like, right there, I abandoned laughter. I was like, I don't care if people laugh. I'm just, they really need to know about duck dicks. And I don't know why people don't freak out. I mean, some do, I guess. But in general, crowds are like, what? But it's like, if someone told me that, like, imagine if you found out that caterpillars have 9-inch dicks. Like, you would at least be fascinated. And be like, a caterpillar. Are you fucking serious? It's like, yeah. They have like 100 legs in one huge leg. And it gets hard. Do caterpillars become butterflies?
That's the one, right?
Yeah, and then when it becomes a butterfly, it shrinks. And that's why people think butterflies are so beautiful, because they don't have an aggressive penis. But caterpillars have a fucking kickstand. That just made Amy giggle. She's a bit of a perv. Okay, what do we got here? Okay, this is a little bit of a bad call I made. I was in an area that didn't have a lot of diversity, and there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean you're racist if you don't have diversity. That's fine. But I don't think they knew about other races. Like, okay, this is a bit of a red flag here.
That's why Brazilians are the healthiest people on the planet, because they're black, white, Hispanic, Asian people. They can just run for like 100 miles. It's fucking crazy. Do you guys know what Brazilians are, Schomburg? That's fine. It's all good. All right, here's the song.
Okay, so I tried to just not dive in. I've learned that from doing this podcast, that those moments where I'm like, fuck these guys, it's probably benign. It's because there probably isn't a big Brazilian population. That's my bad. You know, like usually that part of the bit is the punchline. I'm talking about dogs. About how purebred dogs are always really unhealthy. Like, they're always, you know, it's like, this is Ferdinand. He's a Belgian weasel hound. And the dog's like, my mommy and daddy are brother and sister, you know. And then I talk about how mutts live forever. And they're like Brazilians. And by the end, that gets an applause break. I don't fucking think they know what Brazilians are. Or it wasn't funny. But 9 times out of 10, it gets a laugh. So I'm starting to think that is just, that was a red flag to what's coming next. Which I made a really bad decision on. So I've been working on Summer of 69 lately, and it's been killing in Hollywood. Like, fucking murder. I was like, oh, this song is on fire. Just did it in Kansas and Chicago. Was not on fire anymore. Kansas, they're still kind of getting over the Civil War. It's a little too soon for them because they were a battleground state, you know. They faced a lot of brother on brother fighting. but it has been 150 years. So what the fuck? But they were good. I mean, they laughed, but it was like an uncomfortable laugh. But Chicago, it was fucking weird because I'm 50 miles outside of Chicago. This isn't like the city. It's very suburban. And I'm starting to realize that people don't find historical juxtaposition super funny everywhere. So check this out. But I called him out for it. All right, here we go.
I made my first real black friend. We were working at a mine. He was cool, but I think he gave me typhoid. Was the summer of 1869. When I look back now, the Civil War seemed to last forever. We weren't given a choice. I had to fucking shoot my brother. But those were the best days of my life. Oh yeah. Back in the summer of 1869. Basically what I'm trying to say is life sucked most of our existence. That wasn't that long ago. Can you imagine reminiscing for like right after the Civil War? You guys have racial problems here. Anyone want to talk about it? Anytime I touch race, you guys are like, go back to the fucking mothership. Usually this is some of my biggest, you guys are a great crowd too. That's why I know you have racial problems in Chopper. Every time I touch race, you guys are like, but it's not because you're hateful people. I was having a conversation with a black friend recently. He goes, yeah, but you don't know what it's like to be black. I go, you don't know what it's like not to know what it's like to be black. Like, we're super fucking confused. We don't know what we can laugh at anymore. Okay, so I won't do Summer of 1869. I'll do a male-female shit. So anyway.
Yes, and I went back to the script, which is that a giant white man should talk about dogs, traffic, and relationships, which I'm very good at. So I went back to that because they weren't ready for Summer of 1869. Because I want to do a whole series of historical ballads. Because I just think that people forget how much life sucked for so long. It was very desperate. You know, I didn't even get to the second lyrics. It was like, my mom had her fifth kid at 13. Dad only had half a hand. He died of smallpox in April. And that's when Jebediah stole our land, yeah. And then, when I look back now, slavery was obviously a bad call. We should probably eat more food. Everybody's fucking 4 foot tall. But those were the best days, you know. And then I kill a dude for a scrap of leather. It's not about race at all. It's just, you know, as soon as you touch Civil War, though, everyone gets fucked. Because it's like, I kind of assess the situation. Is this a good crowd or a bad crowd? Is this a good joke or a bad joke? It's kind of like a scientific experiment where you need a control group. Sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe the joke sucks. Maybe they're right. Maybe this is a group of people trying to desperately tell a comedian that he made a bad call. And that's happened a lot in my life. And I've pulled back and I've said, oh, maybe you don't want the pedophile joke at Walgreens that's about toenail clippers. Where the pedophile's at? Pedophile? Haha. It's a pun and it's hilarious. But it brings up bad feelings in people sometimes if someone had to play which pockets the candy in when they were a kid. I get it. I'm a sensitive man. But all I'm saying is that is a good joke. Fact. And that was a good crowd. Like, they were rolling with me for every premise until that. That's when I realized Schomburg has racial issues and they don't know what Brazilians are. Okay. So here's another joke that I'm proud of. It works. And it was out of the fires of breastfeeding. Breastfeeding's really brought Amy and I closer. And my mom was a huge breastfeeding activist to the point of borderline cult behavior. I mean, I'm so glad she breastfed me for a super long time because I'm really healthy. I have a great immune system, great skin, very close to my mom. But I think that she thinks it cures AIDS. Like, she'll send me and Amy emails. It's like, another doctor just showed that breastfeeding cures AIDS. She's right in a lot of ways. It's really good for your baby. Like, nothing was worse than that Gerber bullshit. You know, your baby needs a lot of mother-baby contact, a lot of breastfeeding. You know, hunter-gatherers breastfed till they were like 6 or 7. That's why they fucking don't need braces. Oh, yeah, I got to recommend that book again. Or else that sounds really random. It's called The Story of the Human Body by Daniel Lieberman. I'm in the last three chapters. Another little insight to the book. I talked about it last episode. Obviously, we're still evolving physically. You know, women are having children later in life. We're getting better with milk, because being lactose intolerant lowers your chance of procreation, even just a 0.5%, because someone shit their pants on a date. That's a fucking thing now. Well, cool.
Hey, what's up?
So I'm going to play this quick thing, and then we'll end this fucker. Check this. It's called Boob Bonding.
Breastfeeding is bringing us closer, my wife and I. We were at a museum recently looking at tapestries or some shit. And she was like, oh, I really need a pump. I'm like, me too, you know? She said, no, I need to pump my boobs because they're full of milk and it hurts when if they don't breastfeed enough throughout the day, it starts aching, it aches. And I felt like that was a real good learning. Like, it was a good time for learning, because that's when I told her, I was like, that's exactly how my balls feel. And she's like, that's what it's like for you? And I'm like, that's exactly what it's like. And she looked at me like she finally knew me. And we fell in love all over again.
Yeah, so that's some breastfeeding comedy right there. So that's going to be it this week. Go to hugepianist.com to get tickets for Laugh Boston tonight and tomorrow, and then Oswego on the 21st, and then Gotham Comedy Club in June, the weekend of June 24th. Come down. That's going to be a blast. It's one of my favorite clubs, and I love New York City. That should be a fucking t-shirt. I love New York. Maybe we can just use a heart. Maybe we can make some money on that. So subscribe, rate, comment. You know the shit. We got to beat the algorithm fucking overlords. And email me, whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. Much love. Peace.
Hi, I'm Quen.
And I'm Dev.
And together we make
Mouth Time,
a podcast by Reductress.
You know us from amazing articles such as How to Be a Lady in the Streets and a Haunted Clock Tower in the Sheets.
And Childless Women. Are they safe?
We are the only podcast made by women that women are allowed to listen to.
Yeah, no one's telling you you can't.
We love covering things that you love hearing about, like drugs, snakes, and punching yourself in the mouth till you pass out. You know, lady stuff.
You know, shopping, horses, hair ties, lady stuff. We have new episodes every Wednesday.
Find us on iTunes, SideshowNetwork.tv, and anywhere else you can find podcasts, including the mouth of a snake that you don't know if it's a dream or real or a ghost.
Honestly, check it out. There might be a podcast in there.
There might be.
Bye.